Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Everyday Bitcoin Podcast. I am your host, Keith Miola. It's a new Bitcoin podcast focusing on Bitcoin adoption, Bitcoin's use as money, and all things happening to do with that as a new everyday money standard. Today is November 4th, 2025. We're at block height 922,200 at a current Bitcoin price at $104,331. The price is currently dipping. Which the obvious reason is because people are selling more so than they're buying right now. But it doesn't really matter, just a timekeeping piece. But today I am here with a friend of mine and a founder of a Bitcoin circular economy community. So welcome to the show, Isa. How are you?
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Keith.
Yes, thanks for coming on.
I'm glad to be here. Really cool to see your new podcast.
Yes, thank you. Your episode number three. Yes, three.
Ooh, so, I like three. Yeah. Three is my lucky number.
Ah, really? Nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so things are new here, still finding my way, still finding, you know, the awkward figuring out how to be a podcaster kind of thing. But yeah, welcome to the show. So yeah, as I mentioned, you are a founder of a Bitcoin circular economy called BTC Isla off the coast of Cancun, Mexico. But can you give a little background, I guess, on your personal Bitcoin journey and what led you, I guess, to here today?
My personal Bitcoin journey and what led me here today. Well, I actually stumbled across Bitcoin in a really interesting way. I feel like everyone's story is unique. Mine, I was a journalist, and my fiance, my then boyfriend, was like, hey, you're a journalist. Why don't you cover the Bitcoin conference in Bitcoin, that was happening in Wynwood, Miami? And he kept pushing for me to cover it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. So I ended up going to the Bitcoin conference in Wynwood. It was right after the pandemic, 2021, peak bull market, you know. Everybody was high on life. Bukele had just announced Bitcoin legal tender. You had trash chutes filled with bolivars, you know, the Venezuelan currency. Yeah. It was a great time to be alive. You know, you had Tony Hawk, the skateboarder, doing tricks. It was really interesting. It was a good conference all around. And when I managed to get there, I started talking to a lot of the Bitcoiners and everyone there. And I realized these were a bunch of really smart individuals. The more I spoke to them, the more, you know, in depth the conversation would go and the facts that they would pull up and all these things, that I started to realize, like, oh my goodness, I align with a lot of their vision, with their beliefs, their values, most of them. And they're on to something. There's something here, you know? So I remember leaving the conference after 3 days and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go all in. Didn't even think about it twice. I used to save in cash because I'm a spender. So I would spend, if I would see my money in my bank account, I would spend it. You know, my goal, if it's at zero, that's perfect. It's not on negative. And what I was doing was, my mechanism to save money was grab cash from the bank. I would make myself go to the bank and take out like $200 to $250, you know, every time I would get a paycheck or something. And that cash, I would save it in a savings box, in a safe in my house, in cash and physical, you know, for rainy days or something. I just knew I had to save because everybody was like, "What, you don't save?" Like, no. So that was my savings. So what I ended up doing was grabbing all that money, selling all my stocks, and putting everything into Bitcoin. Mind you, it was at 69K at the time. And I did no research. It was just like trusting all the Bitcoiners. And then the price crashed. It went all the way to 17K, like that whole bear market, you know? And that's when I started learning about Bitcoin, that it didn't matter, that it was going to go up. Obviously, at the beginning, I'm like, crap, is it going to go to zero? Is it? But once you start digging and everything, and you do your own research, like Sailor says, once you put in the 100 hours on Bitcoin, there's no going back. And yeah, that's what it was. Like reading Bitcoin books, hearing some podcasts, researching about it, you know, you don't even have to go into like the Bitcoin route type of way. You can literally just go through fractional reserve. What is money? Look at what the federal, the Fed is doing with our money, the way that they print money out of thin air, and you're good. You realize you need another solution. So my perspective was, this was the solution for me. And that's how I got into Bitcoin. How I ended up here on the island was me and my boyfriend were long distance for about 5-6 years. I was in Miami, he was in Mexico. Time. Really long time. And
it's a long time to do long distance.
I know, but when you find the one, you find the one. So I told myself, I was like, you know what? He tried to move to Miami, didn't work. He wanted to move to Mexico. I was like, you know what? Everything I do is online now. I ended up quitting my fiat job, everything, started a company online. And I was like, I have nothing tying me down in Miami. What am I going to do here? I think it was like time for me, you know, to move, but I didn't want to move to Mexico without having something of mine there. Since my business is online, I wanted to build roots somewhere. And I had been in the space for about like 5-6 years. And I was like, you know what? I really want to orange pill the island. Claudio, we used to work, he works in Isla Mujeres. That's why I was like, you know what, Isla Mujeres, why don't we move there? I can orange pill the island. And
yeah, why
it
not?
Kind of, yeah, why not? It started as an idea. And it was until I was shooting a documentary with Motive from Peru. Motive is a nonprofit. They're organizing multiple Bitcoin circular economies across of Peru, in all of Peru, you know, in the outskirts, in the cities, everywhere. And seeing what they were doing, not only in the aspect of just building Bitcoin circular economies, but in the aspect, in the humanitarian aspect that they were teaching these women, because they focus mainly on women and trying to save women from, you know, really fucked up relationships. Families, they teach them different tools. They teach them how to speak English, or they teach them, you know, how to be an entrepreneur. They teach them how to bake or how to do something that they can sell, a service that they can provide. And that's how they're building their business circular economies, teaching them and making them, you know, better humans. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I want to do. Because yeah, orange pilling the island sounds cool, but I wanted something more, you know, to make a difference. Before leaving Miami, I wrote on a whiteboard. I was like, I came to this world to make a difference, so a difference I will make. So it
nice.
Making a difference in someone's life, didn't doesn't matter if it's 10, 500, or just one person. That's what I felt like my calling was. So that's when BTC Isla started taking shape. And that's when I was like, no, I'm not. It's not just about orange pilling the island. It's about something more. It's about changing people here on this island. You know, everything is mostly connected to being financially free. So teaching someone about, you know, how to be a sovereign individual, how to be financially stable, how to, it's something people don't teach. So it's sort of been like this focus of mine to build that here in BTC Isla. You know, we're soon going to start with offering English classes. and
awesome.
Try to bring things to them, you know?
Yeah. Education is super important. I think it's one of the things that most people, I mean, it's not one of the things that is super stands out when you start thinking about building in a community around Bitcoin and Bitcoin in general, but like at the foundation, it's really about education and
100%.
Really just, showing people there is a different way. And just learning about money, because like you said, like no one knows about money. We're not taught about money. It's probably by design, with the powers that be. But it's super fundamental.
Literally, like you just
for
said,
living.
Probably by design, because like think about it. Think about it. We're designed, you know, the phrase knowledge is key. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
But what type of knowledge are they feeding us in school? Irrelevant things, you know?
Yeah, not for the true, the truly understanding, I guess, the way the world works. No, we're not taught that. It's kind of just like, oh, focus on all this other stuff and continue going down the same path that everyone, we want you to go down. But yeah, and I think people, I guess, I don't know, like sometimes when you think about money and you think how important it is, it kind of seems like people maybe like think about greed and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, you like talk about money and like study money. It's like, yeah, but it's really important. It's not like, I'm not trying to just become a rich person and be greedy and like hoard money and like just focus on money. But like once you get into it and you realize how fundamental it is to just living life and just living a peaceful life and not just being consumed in the rat race, you need to understand like what you're doing. And money makes the world work, unfortunately. It's fundamental. Yeah, that's cool to hear you're going to do English classes. That's very exciting. I assume there's a decent amount of content. I mean, I'm assuming there's a lot of Bitcoin content in Spanish as well, because it is, what, the third most spoken language in the world, maybe? But obviously, most stuff that Bitcoiners are consumed with is English content. So that'd be really important, I think.
Yeah.
That's another way to obviously learn.
English is easier for me to teach Bitcoin in because that's how I learned it. So it's been a wild journey thinking about Bitcoin in Spanish, because there are some words that only work in the English language, you know? Bitcoin was built, but in English, you know? So there's some kind of like saying, like, for example, I always talk about like, there's this word that I always ask, how would you say it in Spanish? But anyways, I digress.
Okay.
I'm gonna, because I always ask, there's a Mexican Bitcoiner group, and I always ask them, how do you say this? It has to do with miners or something in Spanish, but there's like no word for it. So
like hash? No, not hash.
No, hash. I don't know. Let me look it up. Let me see. I always ask the Mexican group.
I totally feel you, because, I mean, obviously, but for those listening, I speak Italian. And when, like, speaking about Bitcoin in Italian, it's sometimes difficult because there's just so many terms that, like, it's such a technical discussion. There's so many things that I just don't know in Italian. And half the time, they just use the English words anyway. But, like, you don't know that. But it's always a big, like, I like the challenge of like discussing, like trying to orange pill in Italian when you normally just, you know, spend so many hours just consuming English content. It's just like, it's kind of a curveball. It's like, oh no, all these different things.
Literally. Never
thought about it this way.
The 100%. It's like, now this, I can't find it.
Ah, okay. It's all good. It'll be a mystery.
It'll be a mystery. I know. If anybody that's watching knows, please drop it in the comments.
Yes, drop it in the comments, of course. Leave feedback. Subscribe and like.
No.
Subscribe and like, click the bell. So BTC Isla. Also for the listeners, so I have been to the island twice. I've spent significant time on the island with Isla. So I consider myself part of the BTC Isla family. I'm still involved from afar, and hopefully we'll be back soon. to work in the Bitcoin Cafe and continue to contribute and stuff. But and I'll leave a bunch of links to, you know, the YouTube channel and the website and the Noster and the Geyser Fund, everything in the beat in the description. But where was I going with this thought? I guess just BTC ESA. So it's been around for almost 2 years now, correct? Like 2 years in February?
Yes, we're about to be 2 years.
Yes, and in that time, we're about 30 merchants, which is really impressive. Whenever I tell anybody that like in the Bitcoin space, they're like, oh my God, 30 merchants.
Well, I would say mostly like 25. 30 is a lot.
It is, when you think about it. From zero to 25 to 30 on an island where like, so what's been, I guess, the biggest challenge, or not, I guess, maybe the barrier to entry to Bitcoin? Because obviously we are more There's financially so privileged challenges. From the Western world. And they, so what's like the biggest thing that the islanders maybe don't immediately grasp? Is it like the savings part of it, or just like, because I know a lot of people have to like, can't really save a lot because they need to like, you know, use whatever income they have. So I guess, I don't know, what were you going to say?
Well, there's barriers in every aspect. Everybody gets into Bitcoin for different reasons. I can't tell you that they fully understand and respect Bitcoin. They don't, but they accept it. The way that they get into it is Bitcoin is another currency, you know, like the dollar, pesos, you know, the euro. That's how they view it, more or less. Because in reality here, there's no saving culture. There is no investing for your future self. And I mean it in every single aspect. Even in like business, people don't grasp the idea that I'm going to sacrifice today so I can do better for tomorrow. You know, I think that's something we've been like privileged to learn at such a young age, especially in, I grew up in the States. So growing up in the States, it's sort of like, and how my parents raised me, it's you go, when you're young, you suffer when you're younger, you know, you sacrifice a lot of things when you're so then by the time you're 30, 40, 50, you can enjoy. And it's that mentality, yeah. Like, oh, like I will sacrifice, you know, being uncomfortable for so I can be comfortable in the future, you know. But here, what I've noticed is they're very short-minded, very short-sighted. I'm not saying everyone on the island, but most of the people that we've talked to and dealt with, they don't see the greater vision. So it's been a barrier for me to even like consider it like, hey, you can save in this, or this is way better than the peso, or like, did you know like the peso is actually worthless? You know, it's also, and not only here in Mexico, it's problems that happens with Bitcoin adoption everywhere in the world. And the thing is, the barriers, they're many, because it's not only in the merchants getting someone to accept Bitcoin. Like, you've done it, you've knocked on doors, you've told people like, hey, like, can you just accept Bitcoin? It literally costs nothing and it doesn't affect their business in nothing, because the amount of Bitcoiners that are gonna come to that business, it's not a significant amount, you know, compared to the non-Bitcoiners that are gonna, not yet, but compared to the non-Bitcoiners, like in a full month of, you know, revenue and profit that a business makes, out of the 100 people that they would get, maybe on a good note, 7 of them are going to be Bitcoiners. So that 93% can sustain your business. But they don't see, like, you're only, like, one person a week is going to be coming to buy in Bitcoin type of vibe. Mm-hmm. So that's been hard. It's been getting hard. And once you get them onboarded, the other hard part is to keep them accepting Bitcoin, because many of them forget, if not all Bitcoiners go there all the time, they forget how to charge people in Bitcoin, or they think it's too tedious and, you know, they've just bury the hatchet type of vibe. I don't think but anyways, the other issue is getting students to attend the classes, because how do you get someone to dedicate their amount, like their time, which is even more scarce than Bitcoin, to literally listen to something that they don't care about? So it's been a lot. It's been a journey. It takes time. It's a process that honestly you don't notice until you stop and look back and see how far you've come. But every progress is good progress, because we're learning from everything. You know, we learn whether like you just have to adapt. And that's the thing. That would be my advice to anybody that's starting a Bitcoin circular economy, is listen to your community and don't be afraid to pivot. You know, you have to pivot when things aren't going your way. Like at the beginning, I was first focusing on teaching. And when I realized that teaching is really not going to get me that much further, like I need to focus on the merchants more, you know, focus more on the merchants and then start teaching them. So it's been like, sort of like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg type of vibe?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And yeah, agreed. And hopefully, you know, the more that merchants know and they put up the sticker, it says we accept it. Hopefully, you know, that will spark curiosity with the person, the ad is paying, the customer, to maybe ask questions and inquire more so. And I know, like on the island where everyone kind of knows each other, like for instance, the Churros Tacos and the churro, that the churro people decided to accept it because their neighbors were accepting it. And it's another thing that way.
Yeah, like trust, building trust. You can't just come to a place and expect everybody to trust you. So I think it's helped that we're still here. We've been here for almost 2 years. And we've developed this trust in the community. And that's where it lays, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt that it was difficult? I assume that the Mexican people know immediately that you're not from Mexico based on your accent. But have you ever discriminated against, but have you ever felt it difficult that they trust you because you're not a native islander? Like, yeah, I mean, outsiders coming and trying to persuade us.
Sorry, what? There is racism on the island. And obviously, it's inevitable. There are times where, so it's just two types of people, you know, like there's some people that, you know, they're just rude up front. And then there's other people that will listen to you and just say no. But yeah, I've experienced some, but it's part of the territory. Like, it's inevitable. Like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm not Mexican and I'm not from here either, but that's not gonna stop me, you know? Like, I want them to get to know me and build that relationship with them, so I don't let it get to me. And I'm just like, okay, this is like the first approach. Once they get to know me, they see like that I have good intentions, that I'm not a bad actor, that I'm not a bad person, and I respect their decision regardless. I'm just here to show them the options that they have, which is something that nobody takes the time to do. You know, we all assume we're born into a country and we start using their fiat from the day we're born to the day that we die. And even months after we die, we still are in debt, because with the casket and everything. So we never have a say in what currency we use. Why are we even using it? So just giving them the options, like, hey, this isn't your only way to live in the world type of vibe.
Yes. And I think it's also one of the things that people don't think about until you point it out to them. It's like, are you choosing to use this currency? It's like, no, it's just, you're just forced into it. But there is another way, a better way. But have you seen merchants, obviously the merchants that accept it, happily accept it from my experience. Do people ever like come into to my Akita or the Bitcoin Cafe and pay in Bitcoin? Or pay amongst themselves?
Which is insane because, for example, this weekend, it so happened that the Exodus team came to eat at my Akita and then they realized we accepted Bitcoin, but they came because they were just like enjoying Isla Mujeres, and they're like, you accept Bitcoin? Oh my gosh. So there's been so many tourists that stumble across my Akita, the restaurant, and they notice that they accept Bitcoin. Or when we have the tuk-tuk out there with the whole Bitcoin B, they're like, Bitcoin. So having the Bitcoin logo brings out Bitcoiners in hiding. Mm-hmm. And it's such a joy to see how many of us are out there and from different parts of the world. It's crazy mm-hmm. how just it kind of unites all of us.
Yeah, and there's a lot that are, I guess, more so reserved.
It's kind of like, you're a Bitcoiner, so you know what's happening in the world. Like, you know the truths out there. You know what's been, played by the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of the great things about the conferences and just meeting, like going to Bitcoin meetups and like just meeting other Bitcoiners. You like immediately know that you have similar values and, similar levels of just intriguing curiosity about the world. So off the bat, you kind of feel already connected to people and you can kind of skip a lot of surface level conversations. And it's not weird to immediately kind of go into more deeper things with other Bitcoiners because, we have a lot of common ground already. About things that are important. So that's always fun. And I think when I was there in January, yes, there was somebody, a regular tourist that had never spent Bitcoin before, but like an American that was like an investor in it.
Yeah.
But I believe they had Strike and they ended up using it to buy something. And I was like, oh, I never used it before for money.
The island has taken many Bitcoiners' virginities away. spending Bitcoin. Because one of the things that many people don't talk about is some Bitcoiners are really old Bitcoiners that got into Bitcoin before the Lightning Network existed, and they've never spent actual Bitcoin. Like, they've sent Bitcoin to their wallet, they've purchased Bitcoin, but that's it. The Bitcoin has stayed in their wallet. Some have feared that their government or their country will tax them, or others just, they don't want to spend their Bitcoin. So seeing them, see how people here on the island use Bitcoin as a currency as well, not only as a store of value, has changed their perspective. And it's been such a joy to see many people spend Bitcoin for the first time, see how the system works, how you can literally just peer-to-peer instantly without asking for permission. It's insane.
Yeah. And it's super fun to obviously just use Bitcoin as money. It feels cool. At least from my nerdy point of view, it feels
really easy cool. too, especially when you're traveling. Oh my gosh. Especially you, like, for example, you've been in this 10 month travel spree. Going to every country and changing the currency, it's such a hassle. So if you go somewhere that just accepts Bitcoin, it's like super easy, beam, boom, bam. You don't even have to worry about anything.
Yeah, there's been so many times where it's like, oh my God, Bitcoin fixes this, like this stupid exchange problem or just like, and obviously with other travelers, like people, paying each other back and everything. It's like, oh my God, this would be so much easier.
Right?
Like split meals, pay people back. And even like, you always run the people that was like, oh, I just I think yesterday I met somebody that was like, oh, I just got here from Bolivia and I like still have Bolivian money. It's like, well, you can't do anything with that now, but it's like, you can maybe if you met somebody
or let's
that was
say
going,
you pay someone.
You can just change.
You pay someone, like for example, you're in Chile right now, you pay someone's meal and they have to pay you back. with Bitcoin, it's instant. But if they don't have Bitcoin, then they got to get a bit, like, how would you even get that money back?
Exactly. And it's instant and easy. And there's about a lot of times too in a lot of these, I guess, Latin America, that where they don't accept cash, or sorry, they don't accept cards, and they want cash. Sometimes I have like a big bill or whatever, and they kind of look at you like, like it's my problem. And I'm like, it's either it's cash or Bitcoin. It's like, I'll gladly pay you in Bitcoin. And they're like, no. That's like, okay. But then it's like, it's like I just get personally annoyed when it's like I'm forced to pay in cash, which I don't want to do. But then you're gonna, you know, be upset that I'm paying with too big of a bill and you won't accept card or Bitcoin. And they just don't know. But what was it? A couple of days ago, I was in Pichilemu, a little beach town, like 3 hours southwest of Santiago. And I was literally walking down the street. I always check BTC map wherever I go. There was nothing on the map. But I randomly was just like staring at this burger place. And then I noticed the Bitcoin sticker. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, do you actually accept Bitcoin? And they're like, yes. And I was like, oh my God, I'll be right back. Because I left my phone at the hostel charging. I literally sprinted back to the hostel to get my phone. And I was like, great. Bought Bitcoin or bought a burger with Bitcoin. Then added it to the map. So now it's actually on VTC map.
What? That is so
But I was so,
so
happy. I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, do you actually accept it? Like, yes. Like, oh my God. But, and that's just a fun story. And I just a random, conclude this slight rant about this little town. I went to this liquor store to buy a bottle of wine. Chilean wine's good. And I asked if they accepted Bitcoin. And the guy was like, no. And I was like, why? And he's like, because it goes up and down. And I was like, oh, so you rather just have your money go down then? And he kind of was like, what? And I was like, never mind. But anyway, I digress.
That's funny.
Yeah. But going back to the island, so obviously you have, well, I guess, I don't know, could you just maybe describe to people that aren't really informed kind of how it works on the island? Because you have Mailakita, the big, like, the unofficial hub, or I guess it's the official hub, but you now have the Bitcoin Cafe, which is, can you talk about the Bitcoin Cafe and what's going on with that and the idea and, like, how it came to be?
We have the Bitcoin Cafe, we have the Point Break Gym. The first gym on the island to accept Bitcoin, and it's the first gym in all of Mexico to run its own node. And we have like a mini hotel for Bitcoiners. So we're slowly trying to build this Bitcoin citadel here on the island, I call it. But the Bitcoin Cafe, so it started with the mini hotel, the boutique hotel, and then the restaurant. The restaurant was actually the first place on the island to accept Bitcoin. And then I would do all the Bitcoin meetups there. And I realized, like, when you're in a restaurant, you know, for restaurant owners, people, you need the customers to come in and out, consume and leave. And I wanted somewhere for the Bitcoiners that they would come, you know, travel all this far to come to the island and enjoy like the beautiful beaches, to have a place where they can just chill, you know, like have a place where to go, where to chill and everything. So what I needed them to do is literally build something where they can just enjoy and not feel like that they have to go somewhere. And that's where the idea happened of the Bitcoin Cafe, because I realized most of the best ideas I've had and the best conversations and everything have happened with Bitcoiners. So having a place on the island where you can meet Bitcoiners and see them and, you know, share a coffee starts in a physical place, you know, at conferences and all this. So that's how the Bitcoin Cafe started. And I have a geyser fund that has helped a lot in the building of the Bitcoin circular economy. And I end up putting all my wildest dreams in there, you know?
Yeah.
And I ChatGPT'd an image of the Bitcoin Cafe. I was like, listen, I want you to build a Bitcoin Cafe, you know, with a huge Bitcoin logo, an orange couch, everything. it generated me an image, and I'm like, wow, I would love to do this. And I put it on Geyser Fund, you know, like, okay, whatever, like, I'm gonna let it sit there. And I think like 2 weeks later, Bitcoiners started donating to help me build the Bitcoin Cafe. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have to do the Bitcoin Cafe. Yeah. I have to do it. And they started pushing into like me doing the Bitcoin Cafe, and they made it happen. So it starts out like a crazy idea, and then the Bitcoiners just help me build things. So that's how the Bitcoin Cafe happened. We ended up opening it August 21st, you know, for 8 over infinity. And
nice.
Yeah, that's why we opened it in the Bitcoin Cafe. We managed to build it in less than 2 months. It was kind of crazy. And that place it only accepts Bitcoin and cash, because I also want the locals to start learning about Bitcoin. And that's been so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, sort of like,
and
come for the coffee and stay for the revolution type of vibe.
Yes. Agreed. And it's awesome. I mean, it's an amazing place to hang out. Amazing view, right? You know, on the water. And all the drinks are like, I mean, it's typical coffee drinks, but they all have cool Bitcoin names.
Bitcoin
like
names.
The Hoddle Cappuccino and stuff like that. The Genesis shot.
The Nakamoka. The
espresso.
Genesis
Nakamoka.
The cold, cold story.
Yes. And it was cool. And maybe I'll work there one day, hopefully. That'd be cool.
Yes.
And then, but originally you also did want to use Bitcoin Sats as the media, or sorry, as the unit of account, correct? But that unfortunately didn't work out.
Yeah, we tried. But the thing is, I wanted to put it in the surfboard. I'm going to do a menu where it's all priced in Sats, but it's difficult in a sense where, you know, many, I wish many people would be down for it, but even the Bitcoiners, it's a cool idea, but they're like, okay, it's this in Sats, but how many dollars or how many pesos type of vibe. So keep pushing for it. I'm gonna do like a special Bitcoin menu, and
that's great. And even just, I don't know, adding I guess the Sats next to the pesos as well, if you wanted to. Which I guess is also
that could
create problems. Some people are like, well, which one is it?
Yeah.
But I would love a Sats menu. Obviously, it is a bit.
I will. Yeah, I'm going to do a Sats menu and then chart, because you still pay with Bitcoin. So it'll be cool.
Yes. And then do you get people? Because I know, like, when I was there last month? Yeah, about a month ago, the Point Break gym, which was super cool. And it was very active. There's a lot of people, a lot of locals. Does anybody pay in Bitcoin?
Yep. We had the first membership of it, one of the first ones. It was actually paid in Bitcoin by this business owner on the island that we managed to orange pill. He now, the owner of Rustico, he accepts Bitcoin in his restaurant. Due to all the Bitcoiners coming to his restaurant, he managed to have a Bitcoin stack. And because of that, he was able to pay for his gym membership in Bitcoin. So yeah,
nice.
We have Bitcoiners.
Awesome.
They pay in Bitcoin, so it's cool.
Do you get any people? Because what is it? No, Ledin. Yes, Ledin is, I guess, one of the sponsors. You have some of their graphics and stuff. And do you ever get people at the gym that are like wondering what it all is? Like, what is this Ledin and like?
Well, that's
like
one
that.
Of the things that I realized. You know how I was talking earlier about pivoting. One of the things why I pivoted to building the Bitcoin Cafe and building the gym was because I was noticing that I wasn't really getting far by me approaching people and approaching the locals and to come and take the Bitcoin classes. So I pivoted and started to sort of like put my money where my mouth is type of vibe, you know, where you say something, but you're not doing it. So I decided to be like, okay, I'm going to show them how, like, for example, like how the Bitcoin Cafe will make a difference and how the gym, you know, by accepting Bitcoin, what it will attract more customers and more clients. So having the option to accept Bitcoin in the gym, having the Bitcoin logo there, having Ledin, you know, the gym powered by Ledin, how you can get Bitcoin back loans with Ledin, having the Bitcoin gym, it starts conversation. It's it keeps them asking questions. And that's where it all starts. That's where your entry to the rabbit hole begins. Once you get them to start asking questions, because it's coming from them. It's not you pushing them to do it. So it's sort of like psychology in a way. And ever since I started accepting Bitcoin, having events like the Bitcoin Fit Games, we're going to do another health retreat with Bitcoiners in December 9 to the 12th with Tone. It's this free event where everybody can come if they want. They just have to, you know, come to the island and be part of it. But that's what sparks questions. And that's what gets people talking. And, you know, they're like, oh, well, next time you have a meetup, can you invite me and this?
Yeah, that's great. I agree. I think it's as long as, like, and I always, like, I guess tying into, like, whenever I ask, everywhere I go, ask, they said Bitcoin. I know the answer is no, but it's all about planting seeds. So I think just creating intrigue, creating curiosity, planting the Bitcoin seed, and just, like, if you're, yeah, having the sponsor names and just having the Bitcoin theme stuff, I think definitely people that are curious will definitely express their curiosity and learn is important. And what was the other thing I wanted to add? I forget. Must have not been that important. But cool. Very cool. Very exciting. But I guess we could wrap it up. Do you have any parting thoughts or anything for the audience? Any last things you would like to bestow upon us?
Yes, I want to challenge everyone to at least go to a Bitcoin circular economy in their lifetime. I think it's a really cool experience. It pushes you to, you know, visit a new place, but also contribute to the community. It is essential to have Bitcoiners go to Bitcoin circular economies and be part of them. Be also low people that Bitcoin is greater than the people there. You know, that it's this huge community outside of it, that it's literally, it is something, you know, it's something that is in all of us. It's, I look at it like we're fighting good versus evil type of vibe. You know, this is, Bitcoin is the good money and, you know, fiat is the bad money. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yes.
Help your community.
Exactly. And for those listening, once again, yeah, BTC Isla Mujeres, little island off the coast of Cancun, Mexico, which for the Americans that may be listening, and maybe Canadians too, but I know a ton of Americans are always going to Cancun. So if you're a Bitcoiner
and you go
to Cancun, yes, day trips are super, one of the common things to do in Cancun. There's tons of ferries to and from the islands, like a half hour journey. And yes, everybody should check it out, go to the island, spend some time there. It's a beautiful, very chill place to be. And, you know, great people like Isa. She'd love to have you. And maybe I'll be there next time. Whoever meet anybody would be cool. Great. So, yeah, I'll put all the links, because Isa also has a YouTube channel, which maybe next time, if we chat again, we could get into that. That's really interesting. Yes. And I guess GetBase too, your other media company. You got a lot of things going on, but I'll put them all in the description for everyone to check out. And, great. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Isa, for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And yes, thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much, Keith. Bye.
Yes. Bye.